Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 77. And the Bible verse is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I was thinking as I was listening to the prayer being read at the end of this reading, and this reading's title is called God Breathe. And at the end it says, "Dear Father, thank you for the truth of the Bible. Thank you for men and women who teach without compromise the whole Word of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen." And we live in a day and age where people like to throw around that word truth. You know, you hear people say, "my truth," or "your truth," and "our truth." And we know what they mean. It's like, this is how they see life, and this is their guiding force in their life. But we don't have that privilege anymore. We cannot live a lie anymore. The real truth is Jesus Christ. He is the owner. He is God. He is truth. And I definitely want to know His truth, as opposed to all the bogus accounts that people would have me believe is truth. And that is not truth. And the other thing is that I'm living in a day and age, you are living in a day and age, that type of, yesterday they talked about leaven in the New Testament, you know, not to be influenced by the leaven of the Pharisees. But that type of leaven is all around me, where I hear in a very authoritative way people speaking things over and over again, and I could be drinking in poison and not even know it. And so I have come to really understand what it is said, what the Word says about itself, is that it truly is God-breathed. And I can see God's hand in it, in giving us a place where we can find our way again. As we go through our day-to-day life, it is very easy for us to lose our way. Like I said, it's just too many stimuli around us. And so over the years, I have found to make God's Word a priority, and to do it while I'm in the Word, to do it with sincerity, and to do that consistently. That is what the Lord has shown me, and that's how He has taught me to do that. And He's also put it very in my heart so strongly to keep reiterating that with anyone who has an ear to listen, you will not, hopefully, you will not be around me very long, and you will not hear me say to you to not give God's Word a light touch. If you are a born-again believer, keep in mind that we are moving closer and closer to the return of the Lord. And one of the things that, you know, if you go back into that 2 Timothy where this verse comes from, you know, we're on 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. But go in the beginning of the 2 Timothy 3 as a reminder, and also to see a snapshot of what we are experiencing as we live our day-to-day life. And I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but I like to read it at times because it is clarifies things, especially if people are new in the Bible. But this is, but when you're doing your Bible study, let me put it this way too, please use a translation first. A translation goes from word to word, where when I have a paraphrase, it is going to go from thought to thought. And in essentially, a good paraphrase is almost like reading a commentary. And I tell you, commentaries are very helpful, but do not, from my experience, don't use a commentary first. Use your time with the Lord and letting His Spirit show you that His Spirit indeed lives inside of you. It's that Spirit that is going to unlock the Word for all of us when we are patiently awaiting for Him to do just that. But if you feel that every time after you read the Word, you got to make a beeline to a commentary, what you're essentially doing is that you're saying that the Spirit in that person, is better than the Spirit in yourself. And that's not true. We all have the same Spirit. The Bible tells us that in Corinthians. We have the same Spirit. And what commentator might highlight may not be what God needs you to hear in that day. And so even just saying that I'm going to read from a translation and not a paraphrase, just so that you can hear hopefully from the Lord. This is the beginning of the verse that we're using today. We're using 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. But 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, from the English Standard Version. It says, verse 1, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." That's for us. Got to remember that. This is not country club living, that it's going to get hard. And we're going to have a lot of pushback. We will have pushback not only with our food, but also with the things that God calls us to do, and we are determined to do it. Sometimes, people will get on my case about my intensity, but I make it clear I really want to follow that Great Commission, that my motive behind what I do is to spread that good news in a way that it makes an eternal difference in the lives of those people that I encounter. But that first verse says, and there's going to be times of difficulty. Two, why are we going to have that difficulty? Verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." My pastor yesterday did a sermon, about sacrifice and how we don't necessarily know about sacrifice, how to really do it. But what we do know, most of us don't want to have anything to do with it because it means curtailing our flesh. We like maybe, just letting ourselves be in the center and doing what we want to do and just indulging the flesh if we want to do it. That's what we think, but that's not what God calls us to do. He goes on in 3 to tell us, again, how does that look? Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. You know, in the middle of the description in 3, it says that that person in the last day is not going to be in control. And we can see that, how it was with us in the food. I called it, you know, popping food. That we couldn't go past anything. And if it was appealing and whatever, it would be in our mouths. And we don't have to live that way anymore. Verse 4 says, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Oh, that can always stop me in my tracks. I knew how to run behind some pleasure, but God tells me this in His Word, you know, that I am to reserve that passion that I used to have of running behind the food to running behind the Lord, pursuing Him, pursuing His presence in any given day. Verse 5 says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And then it says, avoid such people. You know, in the beginning of this reading, I even shared about, you know, the church that I grew up in. It says, I grew up in traditions in which passages from the Bible were read at each service. Well, traditions, boy, it played into my pride. That it was, you know, it seemed powerful to have people saying the same prayer in unison. And with when I was growing up, in my church, the church was spoken in Latin. And even then, you know, as a child, it was like mesmerizing. I didn't know what was going on. People would have, they would have incense also, you know, at the church at the time. And so it just seemed like a lot of mystery. And yet God wants me to know Him. He does not, you know, He did a wonderful thing by coming as a man and giving us His Holy Spirit. But He wants us to have that personal relationship with Him. It's not like, if you remember that movie called The Wizard of Oz, and poor little Dorothy and her friends, they were going to go see The Wizard of Oz, and they finally get in to see Him, and it's all these smoke and lights and, you know, voice that boomed out in there, and they were afraid of God. And that was pretty much how I saw God when I was a kid, you know, that He was out there, you know, get me in line, and if I didn't stay in line, whack, I was going to get, you know, a little smack or something. And no, you know, God wants me to realize that He gives me power not to build up pat. It's not about, you know, getting a following and having that. Any power that I have been given to do anything that seems, you know, excellent and even miraculous, it is the power of God. God does that. You know, God does that. And, you know, I'll just, you know, skip on down to where we are in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We have work to do. This is why God left us here to do work. And we are trained. We're like apprentices as we look around us and see how other people of God are walking in the Lord and following his way. So that prayer goes on to say, thank you for men and women who teach without compromise the whole word of God. I'm grateful for having Bible verses where we have themes, and sometimes, you know, like even, you know, on the Bible verse that we have, we have on Saturdays that is intermittent, we only focus on one chapter, which is a good thing that people use today. You know, we dive into a certain area or something, and these are, this is good. It's good to do that type of diving. But if I had to make a choice between, you know, some intermittent deep diving in my daily reading that would take me through the whole Bible, plus the studying that I do by calling on the Holy Spirit and trying to bring to mind what God has already spoken to me. I love that concept of thinking about, you know, what does it bring to mind? You hear me speak over and over again about spiritual amnesia, that I can have hours upon hours with the Lord, and it's like I can get as a deer in headlights. That's what happens. Like, where am I, and who am I, and what am I doing? Well, the more I stay in the Word, the less I fall into those drastic periods of confusion. Because God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. And I want to spend time with Him so that I can be like Him. And what He told me too is that I am to pass on to others what He has passed on to me. Freely I have received, so freely I want to, you know, to do that. And again, the reiteration on the whole word and not just sections that tickle my fancy. But God has left the whole word for me to know the whole picture, you know, not just a little corner snapshot, but the whole picture of what it is about. And I want to be able to teach with authority. There is a verse, another verse in 2 Timothy. I can remember. It's 2 Timothy 2:15, I think that's what it is. 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says that do your best to make yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. You know, if you read it the first time, you think, oh, I need to take some seminary courses. Well, seminary courses can be quite helpful too, but don't let the devil fool you. If indeed you belong to the Lord, if indeed His Spirit has taken residence in your heart because you invited Him there. You invited Him there by admitting your inability to clean yourself up, and you needed Jesus Christ, and you saw Jesus as your sin bearer, and you decided to follow Him. And that's what, you know, my prayer is every day, that I make that commitment to be in His Word, knowing that the Spirit that He's placed in me is going to unlock what I need to put into practice on any given day. Because, as another part of the Bible reminds me, the days are evil. You know, we are living right now in a time we don't have to actually go very far to see that without the covering of the Lord Jesus, it is a very easy thing to get into behavior that is not fitting. But let me pray. Father, thank you very, very much for your word, and thank you for the people who went before me. And Father, I pray that I can be that for others. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.